There's not a lot of guys that shoot the mid-range. It's kind of like a lost art, especially in today's NBA. It's all three-pointers or just guys going into the rim.
Well, you're still playing it.
Any championship team that you've watched win a championship, they win the game in the mid-range.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. I don't give a fuck.
All right. Welcome to the Mid-Range Podcast. This is episode...
Welcome.
This is episode 4. We're talking 10 today. We're talking my conference.
Oh, my God. Jacob, why don't hide
your champions.
I know how excited you are, man.
I'm pretty excited to talk 10, I got to say. The Midwest.
Tell the people. Yeah.
It's the Mecca. It's college basketball. This is college basketball right here. It's the Big East and the Big Ten. Fuck the Pac-12.
Jacob Weiss.
They don't exist. We got all their teams now. UCLA. We got the team with the most national championships of all time in the conference.
All right, Jacob Weiss.
Exciting stuff.
Settle down.
Nick, I have a question for you.
Jacob Weiss, you and these questions to start the shows. Hit me.
This one's going to be way out of left field. So I know you've done a lot of traveling, TCU football coverage.
So much
TCU,
traveling.
TCU women's basketball stuff. You've been all over
yes.
the place.
Yeah. All
I
over
wanted
the place,
to ask
yeah.
you, I was watching the new Dog Walk draft today. They were doing worst cities in America. What's the worst city
Hell
that you
yeah.
had to go to as a part of your tour around America?
Manhattan, Kansas.
Really?
Manhattan, Kansas is bad. It's not a great university that's there. There's not a lot around it. It was really bad.
That's K-State?
Yeah, that's the Kansas State Wildcats, who coincidentally the Frogs are playing in football this weekend. So we'll see if they
you're giving
can
them some bulletin
persevere,
board.
Yeah, I know. It'll probably be a difference. But probably Manhattan. Any one of those Iowa cities, like Ames, there was nothing.
Really? I thought that was a city
Yeah.
that people, a college town that people really fucked with on some level.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when you go for those trips, you don't really, you're there at night and you're
Right.
usually not staying in that city. But when you just drive through it, it's always kind of depressing. I mean, Waco isn't great. There's a lot that aren't great. There's a lot that are great, though. There's a lot of beautiful cities in this area.
Why don't you throw
been...
me your best while we're doing the worst conversation? Show some love to an
best?
Underrated city.
You know what? I had a great time in Birmingham, Alabama. I had a great time in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We went to Albuquerque for the New Mexico Bowl. And that was we were there for about a week. That was an amazing experience. That's an underrated town in New Mexico. Going to Scottsdale for the Fiesta Bowl was unbelievable. That was really probably my favorite place. And Birmingham was very underrated. I went there to cover the women's basketball Sweet 16 and Elite Eight and had a really, really life-changing experience in the city of Birmingham. So those three are up there. But there's a lot of hidden gems, and I haven't been blessed enough to be to some of the Big Ten places that you have. So I'm excited to get to it. Like, really, the only places I've been are, like, UCLA and USC.
Yeah, you've never really been to the Midwest, like, in your entire
yeah,
life, have
outside
you?
Of outside of Kansas City, I've been there a couple times, Ames, Manhattan. Like, outside of Kansas, really, in Iowa. No, not really. Like, I've never stepped foot in
Iowa,
Ohio.
That's fair.
Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, all those places. So I'm excited for you to kind of put me on game in this podcast.
Yeah.
And I know this is your conference. Like,
yeah, that it
if
is.
I threw your name around with any Big Ten city, I know I could get bottle service at any bar. I could get courtside tickets anywhere if I just threw the name Jacob Weiss around.
Yeah.
So,
oh, 100%.
Like, your name carries weight as one of the top Big Ten personalities in the
Definitely.
sport, and I'm just blessed to be able to talk about this conversation of this conference with you. Like, it really is a beautiful thing.
And I love to hear that, Nick. And I agree with you. I think pretty much up and down the Big Ten, you go to any of these schools, they're going to know Jacob
Yeah.
Weiss.
If I
And
need a
there's,
reservation last minute at those
oh, yeah.
5-star restaurants, if I need a
Yeah.
table at a bar or a club, if I need courtside tickets, if I need to get access to a facility, like I know you're the guy. So I'm excited to talk to you about this, man.
100%. And that's fair. And I agree with you 100% on that. One college town in the Big Ten where they aren't the biggest fan of me at the moment is West Lafayette and the Purdue
Oh,
Boilermakers.
yeah.
Because on our first podcast, I claimed that they're being overhyped. I said that they were sixth in the Big Ten last year and that I don't fully understand why they're the default number one team in the country. I got a lot of great critical responses on the TikTok we posted about that.
And that's
A
fair.
lot
That's
of,
very well deserved.
yeah, absolutely. A lot of questions on do they just give mics to anybody? You know,
Yeah. I mean, it was a
does,
horrible. I'm with the
yeah.
commenters. I hope you realize that.
Oh, I do. And the Purdue Boilermakers are a team that is pretty much the consensus number one team in the country across the board, any media outlet you look at. Are they the team to break the drought in the Big Ten and win the national championship, Nick?
Yeah, because I can't even remember, like, they call it the Conference of Champions, and obviously football's been, winning some national championships recently, but Jacob Weiss,
Yeah.
when is the last time we've seen a Big Ten basketball championship? I seriously cannot remember.
I believe it was about 25 years ago, 26 years ago, before we were
Oh,
born,
yeah,
in
literally haven't
fact.
been alive. You're
Yeah, it
right.
was Tom Izzo and Michigan State over 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, but the good news is that Purdue's the team that is the most favored to do this year, and we've never seen Purdue choke before. So,
Never.
I think that's reassuring as a Big Ten guy for you.
It's definitely reassuring. And I will say, I don't think they're the only contender coming out of this conference, if I'm being
I
honest.
agree. I agree.
But we'll get more into that later. Why don't you tell me about Purdue a little bit, about why they are the number one team in the country?
Yeah, when if anybody actually fully listens to this show, which probably is only consumed by clips, but I'm gonna be the one to bang the door on the Purdue drum because I'm all in on this team. Braden Smith, best player in college basketball, best point guard in college basketball. Something you trust about this guy. I don't know if I've ever said it before. I seriously don't know what it is, and that's with a lot of the players on this Purdue team. You pair him
Yeah.
with TKR, Trakoff, and Wren. That's the best returning duo that we've arguably seen in college basketball in recent years. Like, it is unbelievable. They get that pick and roll going, and it's really, really tough to stop them on offense. Like, that's not going to be an issue for them. And going out against that, okay, you had a little bit of a lull with the big man issue last year of having a true five. You bring in Oscar Clough from South Dakota State. He's bringing instant production, one of the top mid-major players in the country. He brings in to be your big man presence that I think dominating that you were probably missing last year. And then you also have arguably the next Zach Edey in Daniel Jacobson, who returns from an injury, but he's 7'4". He's gonna be a rim protector. And granted, if that's not enough continuity, you get Fletcher Loyer and CJ Cox coming back, which are, proven shooters, perfect. I've played with Braden Smith and TKR. It's elite, and this team should definitely. I think Houston's a little bit better, but this team should be a one seed. They should win the Big Ten. They will win the Big Ten. They will be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, and I expect them to be right in that national championship conversation the entire year because this team is truly elite.
And as you said, Purdue never disappoints in the tournament. So you know once they get
Yeah, and the
there.
thing is, exactly, they're very trustworthy once they get
Yeah.
there. If they're a one seed, they pretty much always win the national championship or at least make the Final Four.
Yeah, they always get close, at least they have that reputation, and you got to respect them for it. You got to respect Painter for it. With the Purdue thing, I'll put it bluntly. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. I was being silly. I didn't do my full
Facetious.
research. I was trying to kind of poke fun a little bit. A lot of people pointed out early season, Jacobson goes down. They're missing their big guy. Part of the reason their interior defense was so poor last year. I said they were sixth in the Big Ten. They were technically tied for fourth. That's pretty funny, though, you gotta admit. So I was proud of that one, actually. But generally, I will admit it was a silly take on Purdue. They are a team that's gonna have, if not the best, a top five offense in the country. Where I do have questions, genuine questions about Purdue, is on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think they're an elite defense. And I think you may have heard this somewhere before, but there's this old phrase, it's defense wins championships. And this is a team that's defense. Clough is a great offensive player. He's not a particularly good rim protector.
It's overrated in my opinion. I know everybody has this debate. The casual sports fan always has the debate about Oscar Clough's defense. But I do think it's a little overrated how he's not that bad of a defender. He's still a plus defender in my opinion, and he still gives them a boost. Yes, if there's a downfall to this team, it's the defensive end for sure. Just because they lack athleticism and they lack the knack for it. Like Fletcher Loyer's defense definitely gives me concerns, especially when a lot of the best players in this conference are those bigger two guards and wings. And you look at CJ Cox as well, it scares me. I know Braden Smith's defense has been criticized because of his size, but he's such a dog that I trust him there. But it's really the two positions of Fletcher Loyer and CJ Cox, and then sometimes getting TKR in a pick and roll and having him defend a guard and stuff like that worries me a little bit. I think the offense will be more than well enough to be able to overcome this, and they have enough on the defensive end. And hope I'm bought into the fact that Jacobson could legit could be. I don't know if his offensive game is developed enough yet, but anytime you have a 7-foot-4 guy that is coordinated enough like him, like he's gonna be a good defender down low. So it really is the two players of Fletcher Loyer and CJ Cox that give me the worry on the defensive end. But you're right, that's a valid concern, and that's the main concern you're worried about with this Purdue team.
Yeah, I think it does get overstated sometimes with Clough, but he was an inconsistent defender playing for South Dakota State. And now you're going to put him in the Big Ten. There's a lot of high-flying athletic guards that are going to come into the paint confidently, try to go over him, and he doesn't have particularly great athleticism to get up and stop these guys. If you get him in a pick and roll, he's not great with his feet. On the perimeter, I do have concerns about Clough. I do have concerns about Braden Smith as a defender because of his size. I don't
He's a
want.
dog.
You could say that, that's fair, but it's like a small guard that's going to have to play. He's a tough, gritty defensive playmaker, and he's a smart defender for his size, but he's not an elite perimeter defender. They don't have an elite point of attack defender or an elite paint defender, and that does concern me. If Jacobson comes in and is great and can move well, stay out of foul trouble, etc., that could be a difference maker for them. I am more pessimistic about their national championship ceiling because of the defense. I'm not saying it's not a top five, top 10 team in the country. But when we're talking about Purdue with the way they're being discussed, we're having a whole different conversation. We're not talking about winning the Big Ten. We're talking about going and breaking this streak that you mentioned has been since before we were born in the Big Ten not winning a national championship. And I do question if come March, they're a team that can rally defensively against some of these great offenses you're going to see in the tournament and against some of the great offenses you're going to see in the Big Ten, such as Michigan. Michigan is really good. I know you're particularly high on them. Do you want to give me your perception on Michigan for this upcoming season?
What they did in to both retain players and add splash transfers is a credit to Dusty May and what he's building there. They get Yaxel Lendenberg. I think you can't discuss Michigan without starting with him because I think Yaxel Lendenberg is one of the top players in the country. I've said it on previous podcasts, but he could have been probably a first-round NBA draft pick. And with the money that is invested in this Michigan program, the dedication to Dusty May, and the investment in trying to win the Big Ten, like he decided to come back to and choose to go to Michigan. They also bring in Morris Johnson from Illinois. Those are two extremely athletic, tough players that are elite. Except, again, specifically Lindenberg. They also bring back Adey Mara, if you remember him, another Big Ten guy from UCLA. He put in production for them. And then you retain Roddy Gale and Amari Burnett as scorers that have already produced in the same system. So they are the second best team of this conference with me, for me. The reason I don't have them above Purdue, they got in Elliott Cadeau from North Carolina. And I think he's expected to be a big time player for them. I've never been bought in to Elliott Cadeau. I think he's a good rebounder, a decent like wing front court type player in transition. But the thing with this Michigan team is that they probably need a little bit more shooting and they need a point guard. And I just don't think that was necessarily the perfect fit for them. They're going to be elite, like I said, but they don't have anyone to, defend a Braden Smith or to be able to go toe to toe with a guy like that or even some other of these top guards in the conference, like your Donovan Dent. Like you said, they don't have that guy. Your Bruce Thornton, some of these other great guards, like even Bennett Sturts, and you can go on and on. This is a great guard conference. They don't have that, and that worries me to the point where I don't have them as my top team. And I think Purdue is still a level above them that is significant enough to me where I'm not even thinking about picking Michigan as my winner. Like for me, it's Purdue, Gap, Michigan, but Michigan's still the best team in the conference and or the second best team in the conference. And I think that that's a lot of credit to Lindenberg because I think he's as the real deal as it gets.
That's fair. It is interesting. So, I assume you're familiar with Bart Torvik, right? And his like
Yeah, the
analytical
T
model of the
rank.
he actually has Michigan ahead of Purdue by the model. And Purdue is down at 4. He is Michigan at 3. It's
That
interesting to
doesn't
see
shock me.
that. Yeah, because it definitely favors defense in a lot of ways, but. I just thought that was I just saw that and I was like, oh, interesting. Like he's just everyone is like all in on Purdue. It's kind of interesting to see a guy as respected as him with them above. Yeah, Michigan, I mean, I as an Ohio State alumni and fan, I don't like Michigan, obviously. Basketball is a little different. I don't really have a hatred towards Michigan from a basketball standpoint. When I was doing my research and I kept seeing that M, it did piss me off. I'm not gonna lie. Dusty May is a really, really good coach. And last year, people forget preseason poll, Michigan was projected to finish 9th in the Big Ten, coming off of a year when they only won 9 games with Juwan Howard. He took that roster with some small school transfers, a guy like Danny Wolf, turns Danny Wolf into a first round pick. Has Michigan second in the Big Ten regular season, wins the Big Ten tournament, goes to a Sweet 16. Michigan is really good. Dusty May is really good. I agree with you, the guard play is a question. Cadeau is a guy who, if it works, then they could be on to that national championship tier. I'm sorry, on that Purdue tier, if it works. But I agree with you. There's a reason he was only getting like 22, 3 minutes a game last year on a team that could use probably some better players without UNC finish. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like, I wish I could stick with my Purdue thing to like make it like funny or entertaining to some extent, and like I could just lie and do it as a bit, but it's honestly would just be completely disingenuous, and I'm trying to be like respectable as a person in this field at all. I am also gonna say that Purdue is on a level of their own, I'm being honest, which
Yeah,
is annoying.
it's funny how it works, because the weaknesses of Purdue is what? Athleticism, wing
Yeah.
defense in general. That's what Michigan has. Like, the main criticisms of Michigan is the lack of shooting and true guards. So their strengths and weaknesses are the opposite of each other, which makes, like, when they play, the matchup so much more intriguing.
Yeah, it's gonna
I'm
be a fun game.
excited because Michigan has a tough road test first couple weeks of the season. They don't start with an easy schedule. They don't do, you schedule your random mid-majors, your MAC teams, you try to stack some wins. Yes, they have Oakland right away at home, and then you get Wake Forest. And that's cute and all. Wake Forest is a ACC team, and that's cute. But you got
That's cute.
then you go to yeah then you go and play a real team. Third game of the season, Michigan travels to Fort Worth Schollmeyer Arena,
Oh, no.
and they're thinking, oh, we hosted this team last year, beat them by double digits. That was a close game without Ernest Udeh Jr. playing.
People
Their
forget.
center. You had to start David Punch, who played the four the majority of the season, had to make his first career start against Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin. They don't have those boys anymore. TCU still got David Punch. TCU's brought in Brock Harding. TCU's brought in Jaden Pierre. They're gonna be thinking, oh, TCU didn't make the tournament last year. We're gonna be fine here. We're an amazing team. They're gonna ride on their high horses. That's gonna tell me a lot about this Michigan team, because they're gonna run into a gauntlet of a environment of a team. When Schollmeyer Arena is rocking in Fort Worth, that is one of the toughest places to play in college basketball, and it is gonna be electric. Nothing is like a Friday night in Funky Town. That's going to be a game that I have my eyes on right away to start the season.
I love that, and that's a game that's going to
I
tell
know
you a
you were
lot.
thinking the exact same
Of
thing.
course,
Yeah.
trust me, I checked out the schedule. I saw they were headed down to the DFW week three of the season, game three of the season.
Yeah,
And
DFW's basketball team.
I was thinking to myself, that's a major test for Dusty May in Michigan going into the
Major.
Shoal.
And I've been to a couple games at the Shoal, like just a couple, but
Just a couple.
it's the real deal.
When the Shoal is rocking, there's
I don't
nothing
want to
like it.
say I don't want to start the conversation, but if I were to have the conversation, I would say when the Shoal is rocking, it is the toughest place to play in college basketball. But that's a conversation for another day.
That's okay. Yeah, we'll do that ranking later on in the season, and it'll be Cameron Indoor, the Shoal.
No, we'll have that debate. But I digress. Let's move on to the next one. What do you got for me, Jacob Weiss?
No, I will say about Michigan, they do have a super intriguing game in late February. They go and play Duke at a neutral site, which that's going to be
Yeah.
an awesome game. And it's like, if you remember
Yeah.
last year, Duke plays Illinois, beats them by 40, and it's kind of like
Yes.
it was like their opportunity to go over to the Big Ten and be like, all right, we just kicked Illinois' ass. We're not just farming wins in the ACC.
Yes,
This is
smart.
a level down Duke team, as we discussed in the ACC episode. This is a Michigan team that, to me, is miles clear of last year's Illinois team. That game is going to be super fun. I'm really excited for that. I think it's February 21st. It'll be super interesting. All right,
Yeah,
Nick, we
I like when teams schedule that. Like we saw Gonzaga do it recently, trying with Kentucky, and you know Mark Few's lost his fastball, so I don't know if he's gonna keep doing those. But it's good when you're in a conference that isn't great and you have an opportunity to compete with a better conference. And I think it's again credit to SMU because their non-con is legit, and again scheduling that on top of their non-con, like they do host Wake Forest at TCU, and then Feast Week you have San Diego State, Auburn, it's Villanova, like it's a legit non-con, which is great for the sport. So shout out to SMU.
Well, and it's a tough spot for them too, because they're relying on a lot. We've talked about this the last few episodes, like this idea of like transfer players coming in, and it can be a difficult non-conference, and then you kind of ramp up once the conference games. They're going straight into the fire. They're throwing
Yeah.
these guys that have been there for a summer directly
In
into
the
some big
Schollmeyer
games.
Arena,
And what are they going
it's a
to do
choice.
when they get to when they get down to TCU? That is the question. Nick, there were four head coaching changes in the Big Ten this year. I'm going to run you through them, and then I'm going to ask you, who do you
Run
think
me
will
through
have
them.
the most success this year, and who do you think is the best hire in the long run? First
Hit me.
off, Ben McCollum comes in for Fran McCaffrey at Iowa. You've got
Yes.
Darren DeVries in for Mike Woodson at Indiana. You've got Nico Medved for Ben Johnson at Minnesota. Ben Johnson obviously goes and takes the Bears job. You know, it happens. And then you got Buzz Williams in for Kevin Willard at Maryland.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
Let me think about this. I'm gonna go Darian DeVries.
I like it.
Because anytime you have a job in the greatest conference in America and you take a shot by going to a hostile fan base, one of the biggest brands in college basketball, and really have to revive them, that takes a great amount of courage. DeVries has been on a track that's pretty, it's on par with any other coach recently in terms of getting building up the ranks fast. I know Ben McCollum went from D2 to Drake last year, and now he's at the Big Ten, so that's a very valid argument. But I like what he's done with the roster here too. It's a veteran group. He has a ton of shooting. When Darian DeVries' offense is going, it's as good as anybody. They were a team that should have made the tournament last year. Yeah, they don't really have a big, which I'm concerned about, and they aren't very athletic, but Tucker DeVries, I feel like Darian DeVries' son, obviously, is a guy that a lot of people may forget because he was one of the best players in the nation when he was at Drake, and last year got his season cut short to injury. Which allowed him to have another year. He's going to be back to one of the premier players in this conference, I believe. And then you add like a great score on Lamar Wilkerson from Sam Houston and Tayden Conaway from Troy. Ree Bailey from Davidson was very good as kind of a stretch forward, which is a perfect fit in his system. I think he, yes, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the big, as I mentioned, but I like what he put together, and I think they could be very much in the mix for a tournament bid and be an upgrade from the Mike Woodson era, which will be tough to do in year one, but I think DeVries has the talent and the ability to be able to do it.
I love it, Nick. And what is your outlook on Ben McCollum and Iowa this year, bringing in Sturts? I think some people are talking about them as kind of a tournament sleeper. Do you think that's possible, or where do you stand?
There's a lot of hype on Ben McCollum, right? I'm not fully bought into it yet. It is one of the best stories in the sport. Ben McCollum was at D2, brings all these guys from his D2 college into Drake last year, makes the tournament, wins the game. Bennett's one of the top players in the nation. And Bennett's he brought him to Iowa for virtually no NIL, which is unbelievable. And you bring in Brendan Housen from K-State and the dude from Robert Morris. I can't remember his name, but he's another great
Fogueras.
player. Yeah, something like that. I know
Fogueras.
he's highly thought of, but where's the defense coming from? And it's very thin guards aside from Sturts and Housen. And I'm not fully bought into Housen. I watched him a lot in the Big 12 last year. Again, where's the defense? He was on a K-State team that was very underwhelming. So you're counting on a lot to be on Bennett Sturts' shoulders. And I don't know if he's going to be able to sneak up on these guys. And yeah, he got the win over Missouri in the NCAA tournament, but a full season in the Big Ten, like, the SEC
Oh
ain't the
no.
Big Ten. And for a full season with that much pressure, with full scouting reports on him and everybody's going to be on him, I'm not fully bought into Iowa yet. I do think Ben McCollum's a great coach, but I think Iowa may be the most overrated team in this conference. I'm just not buying a tournament bid right away.
Think that's fair. I think all jokes aside, what you can say about the Big Ten is top to bottom are capable teams. And that's what sets it
Yeah,
apart. It's
Rutgers.
yeah. Maybe not Rutgers or Penn State, but aside from Rutgers and Penn State, you go to Northwestern and you got to play against Nick Martinelli, who's an all Big Ten player. You go to Nebraska, they were right on the bubble last year. They're going to be decent. Like, even the worst of the Big Ten are still teams that are going to be bubble teams, that are going to be capable teams. And I think I agree with you that they're getting a bump based on McCollum's past. And that's exciting and fun and an awesome story, like you said. I do doubt that they're a tournament team, but McCollum could just shove this in both of our faces and do exactly what he's done everywhere else and just go to the tournament this year. It's totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, he could go to the tournament. I don't know like what he's gonna shove in our faces, but I do understand what you mean.
He could shove it in our face. I mean, we're giving them, more bulletin board material for Iowa.
Yeah.
It's
No,
it'll be interesting to
I
see.
agree. Yeah, there's the question mark is too much for me. Like, prove it in the Big Ten, prove it in a major conference before I'm fully bought in is to where I'm at.
Any thoughts on Buzz Williams at Maryland or Nico Medved going to Minnesota at all?
I like the Minnesota fit for Nico Medved. I mean, Nico Medved's a guy that has been at the rising in the mid-major ranks. He was put together great stuff at Colorado State and all of that. The thing that I'm not bought into, I just don't see, they don't have a star there. They don't have a go-to guy that I'm love. A lot of mid-major guys, Bobby Durkin from Davidson, Kate Tyson from North Carolina. They bring back Asuma as a good guard. I don't know that I like Medved long term. I think he's a perfect fit with Minnesota, as I said, but this year I'm gonna wait on. In Maryland, Miles Rice is a guy that had a lot of expectations going from Washington State to Indiana. And again, that Indiana team was just so inconsistent, so off last year.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
It'll be interesting to see if he kind of revives it at Maryland. I think that's an intriguing add for them. And he brought some good guys like Solomon Washington and Farrell Payne, both from A&M, with Buzz, obviously. And then Elijah Saunders from Virginia. They have guys, and they have like dog-like players that Buzz Williams is intrigued to. I just don't. I'm not bought into that they have enough shooting or enough great defenders to really make a tournament push right away. So again, I like these two guys long term. I think Buzz Williams got out of A&M at the perfect time because he was losing a lot of that talent, like your Wade Taylors and other supporting cast. So perfect time to kind of leave as the hero before you become the villain. So long term, yes, like both those hires. This year, I don't think they're tournament teams.
So out of the four, are you going to pick Indiana to go to the tournament and the rest to miss it? Or none of them
Yeah, give
to?
me the Hoosiers to the tournament, the rest to miss it.
All right. That's
I
fair.
think that Big 12 pedigree is legit. He came into the Big 12 from Drake and, again, should have made the tournament, had a lot of success. Turned Javon
Totally.
Small to an all-conference player. And anytime you do that is I'm sold.
I love it, Nick. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll get back to Big Ten stuff
Some
after.
accolades?
Let's get back to the accolades afterwards.
All right, let's
I
do
want to
it.
ask you one more question before we get into our champions, awards, etc. You have Purdue in a tier of their own.
I
You've
do.
dropped Michigan down to the second tier. Is there anyone else joining Michigan in that second tier?
Michigan's also in a tier of their own. Mich Purdue
Okay.
one, gap, Michigan two, gap.
What's the next tier?
I think. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. I'll pull the teams. I think Illinois and UCLA are kind of
Okay.
fighting for the three spot. I really like what both of these teams have done. Tomislav Ivicic obviously was unreal last year, and he's only going to take that next step to be an elite player. And you know what Illinois does? You bring in Big Z, Ivicic's twin, who is a 7-footer, insanely skilled. If those two even scratch the surface of what they can become, this is going to be an elite team. Kylan Boswell comes back. He's a great guard that made an impact last year, obviously coming over from Arizona, who he already had great experience at Arizona. He's experienced, he's a guy I trust. And then not just keeping like the Ivicic brand of international guys, you also bring in a guy that
The
I think
Balkan flavor.
underrated, Mihajlo Petrović, who's gonna be their
Yeah.
point guard from Serbia. He's a stud. He's one of the best international guys coming in. And then also, one of the top transfers of the nation, Andrei Stojakovic from Cal. Like, this is a complete team. I really like what this team can be on offense. Very versatile offense. They have the bigs, as we said, with the Ivicic's, and they have the guards and Boswell and Stojakovic and Petrovic, like I said. They can have great spacing in this Illinois offense. The defense is, I guess, a little bit of a concern because it was last year at times. And again, whenever you're returning guys, that's still going to be an issue. But overall, I really like this Illinois team. And to look at UCLA, like we said in previous, I'm very high on Donovan Dent. Donovan Dent is one of the best mid-major players coming from New Mexico. Great shooting around him too. Like Bilodeau and Eric Daly return. I think that's very big because you have returning guys to pair with your star transfer in Donovan Dent. Sky Clark from Illinois. Trent Perry was a very high recruited guy who, if you remember, flipped to UCLA right before the season last year. He struggled a little bit as a freshman, but he's got talent, and I think he's going to be a player as well. So yeah, I really like both these teams. I think both these teams could be fighting for that number three spot.
Yeah, I like both these teams as well. I would put UCLA with Michigan personally. I think UCLA is going to be really good. I was really banging the drum for them on our first episode. Having looked into it more, I don't have it didn't I moved up with Purdue. I did not move down with UCLA. I still think UCLA can compete in the Big Ten, and I still think that they are a long shot national championship contender. Dent comes in from New Mexico, like you said, one of the best mid-major players in the country last year. You've got shooters like Bilodeau, Clark, Daly, Jamar Brown that spread the floor for them. And you bring in Xavier Booker from Michigan State, who's a guy, if he can be a great rim protector and a great inside finisher for them and just hold down that center spot, they are a team that could be really good under Mick Cronin. Illinois, I would have in that next tier. Like you said, their defense has major question marks. It's a lot of European guys coming in hoping to make an impact. Andrei Stojakovic, one of the top scorers in college basketball on bad teams. And I don't necessarily think that he translates to a successful team just because he was a really good scorer on bad teams. We see this all the time where these guys come over and they don't succeed to the same level. He's an all-around
Is
offensive player with a lot of talent. But I question if he's a winning player.
Here's the thing. He doesn't need to be even a top five player on this team. I think you could make the case that the Ivicic twins, Kylan Boswell, Ben Hammerkaus, Ty Rogers, those guys are probably all better than him. So he can be the sixth, seventh best player on this team, and Illinois can have a lot of success. So there is zero pressure on him, in my opinion, which I think is fleeting because he does have talent. Like you said, like it's the case in the NBA a lot of times where you see like Jordan Poole, for example. He can be the best player on the Wizards, but to be a championship level team, like he was what, the sixth best player? I guess he was better at times, but you get what the
No,
case
yeah, no, that's
is.
fair.
Be a role player,
Yeah.
then the team can have a lot of success. So I think if you just trust in the Ivicic twins, I'm all in on Big Z. Big Z's been up and down from Kentucky and Arkansas, and his offensive game is still like his coordination is still not all the way there, but his defense is. That's going to help them a lot. And I love the offensive ability of Kylan Boswell. I'm really on this Illinois team. I would put them a little bit above UCLA even.
That's fair. If Stojakovic is willing to be the sixth man on an Illinois team, then I think you're right. I don't know if I see that happening from him and him as a player and what he's used to. And like you mentioned, the NBA, you see these guys that like Cam Jones, who we talked about, Cam Jones, who we talked about last episode. When you start off and you get the ball a lot and you score a lot of points early in your career, and then you're being asked to take a smaller role, it might seem like that's a great thing in theory when we're talking about it. Does that permeate to
When did Cam
Illinois
Jones have to take
basketball?
a smaller role, though? Cam
No,
Jones
I'm saying,
kept
but like you saw what
progressing.
happened. I mean, in the sense of what happened this summer, where like he w wasn't
Oh, in the
willing to go to
NBA?
another t yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a probably a whole different game. I
Yeah, but I
think.
mean, you mentioned Jordan Poole, so I was just that's like another side of that same coin.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think winning, I think Underwood's great coach where you can convince them, oh, if you're in the system, you play a role like it's similar to a Caravan, where he can be the talented five man and or fifth best player on the option. I don't know. I do like the skill set of Stojakovic, and I think he is a high character guy where it's not gonna be an issue.
That's fair.
That happens all the time when like it's a little different because Stojakovic has come from Power Five conferences, but like there's so many times where mid-major guys have to switch their role, and yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But a lot of the times, those guys could be good role players.
That's fair. I hope it works out for Illinois. I like Illinois just
like colloquially, like as a team, I just always like root for them, the I, like
Yeah, well,
their
you root
history
for
and
every Big
stuff.
Ten
But
team.
yeah, exactly. I'm a Big Ten guy through and through, of course. I root for every team evenly. You know, I have no favorites when it comes to the Big Ten. I'm a Big Ten guy purely in all sports. And there's no question about that. All right, I don't think this needs to be a long conversation. I think we've kind of already chronicled our picks, but do you
Are
have
we
a
doing
game of the year?
accolades, Jacob Weiss?
We're talking
Let's do it.
accolades.
Let's do
We're
it.
talking accolades. Why don't you go ahead and give me your conference winner?
Yeah, I think I already gave the speech earlier. So if we want a clip, so we can probably go back to there. Purdue's my winner. I don't think it's close, as I said. I think Purdue's a top two team in college basketball, and I'm all in on them.
Yeah. I hate it, but yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And I'm picking them as well.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a big,
I went cheeky with St.
no.
John's and Louisville. I'm gonna go with Purdue.
Yeah, I wanted to give like a big speech and then at the end be like, they're gonna finish third, like Michigan and UCLA are better. It's like you look at the roster. We joke about Painter and their success in the tournament. They've shown their class in terms of the Big Ten, undoubtedly. They're gonna win the Big Ten. I think it's almost the safest bet in college basketball this year.
Yeah, there's literally no way they
Yeah.
don't. It's
There's
the
literally
safest bet of all
no
time.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like the absolute lock of locks. Like, no doubt in my mind, 100% confidence. Purdue is a
Yep.
team that we know never chokes, never disappoints, and they're gonna be right back to it. And as we know,
And that's fair.
the consensus number one team in the country never disappoints.
Never.
It's not like the
North
last 3 years.
Carolina. Who was last year?
It was Kansas the last 2 years. They ended, I believe,
Kansas,
unranked in
yeah.
both seasons.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
150 something really
not
lived up to expectations.
the last three number one consensus number ones have ended the season unranked. I'm not gonna pick it for Purdue because they have shown their ability when they have the expectations. And there's just no doubt about that,
Yeah.
if we're being honest. All right, Nick, I imagine you're going right back to the well here, but who is your player of the year?
Yeah, it also aligns with the Big Ten preseason player of the year. It is Braden Smith. I've said it time and time and again. He's the best player in the country. He's the best point guard in the country. There's something you trust about him. He's back-to-back Big Ten preseason player of the year. That makes it three straight seasons that Purdue has had the Big Ten preseason player of the year. Obviously, Zach Edey was the guy before. He's just the man. And I think Lannenberg is the only guy who can really rival him if both stay healthy. But the fact that Braden Smith's already done it, he's so comfortable in the Matt Painter offense. He's so comfortable in college basketball. He's as safe as a bet as it comes.
I am going to go with Jaxel Lendenberg here for my player of the year. He's a guy who averaged 18, 11 rebounds, and 4 stocks a game last year. And I'm not saying he's a better player than Braden Smith in a vacuum. But like we discussed earlier, this Purdue team has a lot of options on offense. And I think Lendenberg is really going to have to be the guy on offense for Michigan. He's also an elite defender. He's going to put up big steal numbers, big block numbers. He averaged almost two of each a game in the Sun Belt, which is crazy. And it's not an anti-Braden Smith pick. It's just I think he's really good, and I think Michigan's going to be second in the Big Ten most likely, if not competing to win it. And he's going to be a big reason why. So I'm going to go with Jaxel Lendenberg here.
I like it.
All right, Nick, you want to give me a freshman of the year?
Yeah, I want to say that we didn't really touch on this team a lot, but Elijah Arenas was set to be kind of the guy
Yeah.
who's going to take home this award. Obviously, really tough car crash, and I think he's going to be out the majority of the season, which sucks. I like what what Muss did this year. And I think they're going to compete for a tournament bid, and I honestly think they're going to make the tournament even without Arenas. But yeah, he's the guy that should be here. Since he's hurt, I'm going to go Trey McKinney. He's going to Michigan. He's going to play quality minutes on a very good Michigan team, as we said. With the lack of guard play, I think he could step up and be an unsung answer that not a lot of people are saying. He's a four-star that's from Michigan, so obviously the connection's there. He's a 20th overall player in the ESPN 100, and I think he's got a lot of skills that fit what Michigan needs. So it's not like a big freshman forward conference again, especially
It's
with
not.
the Arenas injury, but I think Trey McKinney's a guy who could have that potential to make headlines, especially on a Michigan team that's going to be talked about all year.
It's really not a freshman conference at all. Well,
And you know your way around some Big Ten freshmen.
and I know my way around Big Ten. And that I do 100%. No doubt about it. Freshman of the year is tough because Arenas was kind of the only massive five-star guy. I know pick was obviously right there. I'm gonna go with Darius Adams at Maryland.
I like it.
6'5" bucket getter. Maryland, Buzz Williams is going to be able to put him into a situation to succeed. And I don't think any freshmen from the Big Ten are going to be, maybe this is a hot take, maybe not. Any of the freshmen in the Big Ten are going to be in the top three conference teams. Like, I think he's going to be probably a steady 12-5. And that's probably going to be one of the highest outputs we get from a freshman in the Big Ten this year. And so I'll go with him
And
as
that's
my pick.
fair.
If you had to pick an overrated team, who would you go with?
I said it earlier. I just show it to me, Ben McCollum, with a high major team. The uncertainty scares me, and I think it's a lot on the shoulders of Bennett Sturts, which I don't know if he's ready to take on a Big Ten schedule on a night-to-night basis. So I think I was my overrated team.
That's fair. I think kind of in that same ire, and I'm gonna push back on a pick you made earlier, but I'm gonna go with Indiana.
Like a big
I
man.
just think it's a lack of size issue. Darren DeVries has shown it to, like you said, he should have made the tournament last year. He's a good head coach, there's no doubt about it. But this Indiana roster is not particularly strong. And I don't necessarily see them as a tournament team. I think they're at that bottom end of the bubble, just like last year. I don't think you're going to see massive strides this season. Same with Ben McCollum, like you were saying. These are coaches who, if the program sticks with them, and that's much more of a question at Indiana than it is at Iowa, of course, they will be able to succeed down the road. I wonder if Darren DeVries doesn't make the tournament this year and let's say he misses it again next year. Is he gone that quickly? I mean, we know the track record with Indiana. They rotate so quickly. Where do you stand on that? How fast could it go sour in Indiana?
Depending on how bad, I don't know. I again, like I said, I'm high on Indiana, so I don't think it's gonna happen. But if you miss it this year, like they're not really expected to really make it this year. You know what I mean? They're probably more likely to miss it than not. So I think you give it maybe 3 years, well, 3 year plan. I think we've seen that a lot recently with coaches. Like Ed Cooley hasn't really made a dent at Georgetown, and he was a high level guy for a big basketball school, and they're giving him another chance. So I think they're really bought into DeVries, and I think they give him definitely over 2 years.
That's fair. I just, Indiana in particular, of any of these big teams, is so, has such a short leash when it comes to these guys and such a rabid fan base, like you were saying earlier. I think if they could be patient, it would be great for them in the long run. I think the national consensus might be that Indiana is not a tournament team, but I think Indiana fans are certain their tournament team and are
And
certain they're back to form and winning.
I'm riding with them. I'm riding with Purdue and Indiana this year. Why not bring both? That's a
Why not?
I do think they're gonna make the tournament.
And that's fair, Nick. That's absolutely fair.
100%.
Do you want to give me an underrated team?
Underrated. Well, it's Indiana is my underrated team, and I think I gave that
Okay.
spiel earlier. But yeah, the fact that I'm bought into DeVries and I bought into Tucker, so yeah, I really do think Indiana's gonna make the tournament.
Let's talk about Ohio State.
Yeah, we haven't even got to them yet. Give me your spiel on Ohio State.
Let's talk about Ohio State. Elite guard play. As
Agreed.
good as any other team in the country guard play. Thornton and Mobley are unreal basketball players. Thornton, that mid-range, that floater game is so fun to watch. Mobley is a guy who runs around like a madman, can shoot from anywhere. I love their guard play. I love Devin Royal coming back. Another big season, hopefully for him, and hopefully he can shift a little bit to more of a 3-4 type role as opposed to last year where he was playing the five because our big man situation was so bad. That's been addressed. That's been somewhat addressed. But Gabe Cupps comes in. Ohio basketball legend Gabe Cupps. I don't know if people know he is the top scorer in Ohio high school basketball history.
Well, yeah, he's Mr. Ohio. Wasn't
Mr.
he?
Ohio.
Yeah.
You know who else is Mr. Ohio?
Tell me.
LeBron James. And Gabe Cupps has a chance to follow in LeBron James' legacy as an Ohio State legend. And I think this Ohio State team is not only a bubble team, but is a top six seed in the NCAA tournament come March. I think they compete at a high level in the Big Ten. I think they're right there with Illinois in my mind. That's my underrated team. That's my team. I'm so excited for this season. It's the most excited I've been for a basketball season since coming to Ohio State. I think it's going to be a big year, and Diebler has an opportunity to answer some questions here. And I really, really hope he can do it because he's another guy, another Ohio Mr. Basketball, another Ohio high school legend, an Ohio State legend, truly was great at Ohio State when he played here on those great teams with Evan Turner. And I really believe in Ohio State this year to make a run. Be a top six seed and hopefully win a tournament game. Again, it's so frustrating with Ohio State how poor they've been the last couple of years. And I expect and I demand a turnaround this season from the Buckeyes.
I like that you said that because I'm all in as well. I think Thornton, Mobley, Royal coming back is as strong of a returning guard trio as it gets in the country, as you said. I don't know if they're the best backcourt in the country, but them, especially offensively, like their offensive ceiling is through the roof, especially Diebler's
It's
offense.
insane.
And there's one guy you didn't mention that I want to talk about because you mentioned the big man. They got Christoph Tilly. And I've watched Christoph Tilly play for the past 3 years in the WCC. He's from Germany. He's a 7-footer. He balled against TCU last year as well. He's that guy. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He averaged 12 points and 5 rebounds last season with Santa Clara. He was a force of the WCC. And if you can play in the WCC, you can play anywhere. You also bring in Brandon
Yeah,
Knoll
everyone
from
knows
Wright
that.
State. There's just a couple of guys like you just trust right there. The one thing is if something happens to the front line, like depth is a little bit of a concern, and maybe
Yeah.
that defense has been a struggle in years past with the Thorne Mobley Royal grouping could exist, but I'm gonna one up you even. I think this is a top five seed in the NCAA tournament, and this Ohio State team will get a win in the NCAA tournament minimum.
Minimum. It's a demand. If they miss the tournament again, I'm sorry, Diebler, it's time.
Oh.
I know. I mean, I don't mean that in like,
It's
I think he's a great
time.
guy, but it's time because like you
It's only
got the
been,
job.
hasn't it only been one actual year?
Yes, but when you're an interim guy,
Short leash in Columbus.
it is a short leash in Columbus. We
I
should be
like
on
it.
top. We should be up there when the
I
Big Ten.
like
It's
it.
Ohio State. Like
Yeah.
genuinely, it drives me nuts.
High
There should
expectations.
be.
There's a standard when it comes to Ohio.
There's a standard, and the standard is the standard. And Jake Diebler, you say it's
What
a
is the
short leash, and
standard,
you're right,
though?
it's a short leash. The standard.
And that's fair. Okay, go on
And
about your
Jake
player.
Diebler, what I'll say about Diebler and why I have a shorter leash for him, and I really, really do like him so much as a dude, and I love his passion for Ohio State basketball. But he's a guy who came in as an interim when Holtman got fired,
And went crazy.
had a strong end of the season and got the job off of that.
An
It's
insane
not
end of
like
the
we
season.
went, yes, but we did not go out and test the market and take our chance to bring in a guy like a Ben McCollum or a DeVries or one of these guys who's worked their way up and has shown it across the country and has made tournaments in the past. So that's where I'm a little bit more hesitant on him because I think there's a market out there and Ohio State is a big job and it should be treated as such. And like we said, the standard is the standard. It's time to return to Final Fours. It's time to return to winning Big Tens. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of watching the bubble every week, hoping that Ohio State is in the conversation. It drives me crazy. And then you go to the Big Ten tournament and you fucking lose to Iowa, the most embarrassing performance of all time. I go to one game and they lose to
Who hit the
Northwestern.
dagger three in the Iowa game? You're going against talent like Brock Harding. That's fair to lose to him.
Yeah, Michigan's gonna learn about him. That's all
November 14th. I'm not counting.
say. But yeah, Ohio State basketball frustrates me to no end, but I have genuine hope for this season, and I think that's the scariest part of it, is
And
I
that's what I love to
actually
see.
believe.
That's what I
And
love
I
to hear out of
actually
you.
believe in Ohio State, and I believe in John Mobley more than I love. He is my favorite player. I love him
Of
so
all
much. I want to
time.
watch a favorite Ohio State player of all time, maybe, honestly, like watching him play is so much fun, and I want him to show the country how good he
Yeah.
is. And if we're not successful, he's gonna leave. So
Yeah, he's like the
that's the other
Kyle
nervous
McCord
part.
of your basketball team. I'm
No,
just messing around.
he is not. He's
I
the
do
Julian Sand.
it fires me up to hear you this excited about the Buckeyes. Because I want it to be a fun year for the Buckeyes, and they have all the talent to do it.
I know. They really do.
It would
Royal is a guy who.
genuinely suck. It would suck if they disappointed. It
Nothing would make you happier. Nothing would make
would.
you happier than
No.
Ohio State not.
I'm genuinely excited.
If Ohio State misses the tournament and TCU makes it, like, I might not show up for that
No,
tournament preview episode.
Ohio State's like they're pretty much guaranteed to make. You look at any projection they're in it. And literally any tournament projection, TCU is nowhere
Yeah.
even close. Find me a projection where TCU's in it. You can't. So there's literally no way.
Oh, God.
Can we take a look at their schedule? I don't know their schedule.
Yeah, we can. Let's do it.
Okay. Because Diebler's
Let me
schedule,
pull it up.
tough to start the year. I'm not looking at it or anything. You go, you have some like he's obviously showing a lot of confidence in your team. IU in need to start off the year. Purdue, Fort Wayne, you got App State, Notre Dame, they're gonna be really good this year. You got Western Michigan, Mount St. Mary's at Pitt is going to be tough. And then
What are you doing?
you get West Virginia on a neutral. Like this is a stacked schedule. And anytime you stack the schedule to this point, I think there's a lot of optimism with your team, because you see coaches around the league, around the world, like when you feel like you have a stacked team, you want to be able to test them. And I think it's a credit to Diebler to put together this stacked non-conference schedule, because it really has a sense of optimism where you're going to be in a lot of big time moments and be battle tested before Big Ten play. I genuinely like I had I did not I didn't look at the schedule beforehand, but I just think a credit to you, and like you should be excited about this team.
Here's what I'll say about the non-con. You're looking at a team that should be undefeated going into conference play.
Yeah, there's no way
And
they
if they're
lose the
not,
game. There's okay, like
Nick,
I was
if
joking, but
they're
there's
not
literally no
Nick,
way. You're out.
if I'm fire Diebler. If they lose to Pitt again, fire him. I'm
I
done.
think it's we have a fun situation on the mid-range pod, where we have a common opponent in the non-con. We both play Notre Dame, so that's a good litmus test to where if somehow,
This.
God forbid, Ohio State lose Notre Dame, and somehow, I don't know how, because nobody's projecting TCU to make the tournament. TCU beats Notre Dame on a neutral site. Then, or at home, actually, then that's going to be a good thing to look at for Selection Sunday. Common
Where are we
opponent.
playing Notre Dame? Value. Oh,
Feast week.
wait, what?
Stacked Feast week.
No, it's at Ohio State. Oh, I thought you said it was neutral site. Sorry.
Now you're good.
You know, we do go play Virginia on Valentine's Day
Yeah, it's a stacked matchup.
in Nashville. I don't know. We've probably talked about Ohio State for too long, but it's a
Yeah.
big season for Diebler, and it's a big season for my guy Mobley.
Hell yeah.
And let's move on so I don't get more upset. Let's talk Big Ten, all Big Ten team,
Yeah, it came
10-person
out.
draft. Oh, yeah, you want to talk about the actual one?
Yeah, I just want to say we'll make it quick,
Yeah, let me
but
pull it up.
any surprises for you? I can start if you want.
Let me get it in front of me. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say we hadn't touched on this team yet, but thoughts and prayers to Jackson Shellstead. He'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a wrist injury, which sucks. He's one of the most talented guards in the country, and Oregon's a team that has high expectations.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
I thought it was like be like, yeah, like a family member died or something.
No, he had a wrist injury that he's about to have a big junior year, and that just completely stunts what his expectations were. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and
I
prayers.
was interested to see if they were going to put him on this team regardless, and they did, so that was a surprise to me. But outside of that, I think Nick Martinelli is a little overrated, but I understand how he got on the All Big Ten team. Production.
I guess the biggest surprise for me is that the Big Ten is going to be playing 10 on 10 this year.
Yeah.
Because you throw 10 guys on the All Big Ten first team, where do you stand on that? Does that annoy you as much as it does everyone else, or do you not care?
Yeah, I think all conferences should have to do the same thing, just because you have a litmus test of like the getting all Big Ten first team has way less of is way less hard to do than be on like Big 12 all first team, because Big 12 does just five players. So all you need to
Yeah.
do is just do like instead of one all Big Ten team, do and then you can add in 15 players, do first team, second team, third team. So that's what how I stand on
I
it.
completely agree. That was my thought when I looked at it, and I was like, wow, they threw Thornton in all Big Ten first, and then it's like, yeah, he's second team. Like that's what it is. I mean, and I do think he should be up there. He's proven it. He's did it last. I think it was a third team last year. And he's a monster. He's been great since he got to Ohio State. He's been one of the biggest bright spots for us as a program. And there's really no surprises. It's about what I'd expect.
Yeah. You want to draft players
Coffin Wren,
ourselves?
two Oregon guys in there. Yeah, let's do a draft. Let's do a little draft. Let's just get it rolling, get it done.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, Nick, I'm gonna give you the first pick. Who you going with?
I think we know who I'm going with. My guy, my trustworthy guy, lunch pail guy, hardworking guy, Big Ten preseason player of the year, my Big Ten player of the year. No way in hell this team doesn't disappoint this year. Give me Brayden Smith out of Purdue.
I'm going to go with my Big Ten player of the year. The guy comes over from UAB. He's a monster, offense and defense. Yaxel Lindenberg of Michigan.
You were talking down on this guy. I was surprised he made first team. Mobley's the guy. Give me Bruce Thornton. Bruce Thornton is a top three player in this conference. He's going to carry Ohio State to the promised land of a top five seed. I legitimately do believe Bruce Thornton is that legit, and I'm going to take Bruce Thornton on my team.
Yeah, I have flashbacks to that layup you missed against Michigan every night before I go to bed, and it
Yeah, that
reminds
was a
me
rough
of
one.
the pain that I feel as an
That
Ohio
could have
State
given
fan.
you a
So,
tournament bid, too. That could have been the difference.
yeah,
Still.
or we could have just beat Iowa in the first round of the Big Ten
Rock
tournament. We
Harding.
probably would have
Rock
been
Harding.
fine. Yeah,
All right,
Brock
who you got
Harden. What can we
next?
do about that? Trey Kofman ran Purdue.
That's fair.
He's the second best player on the best team. He'd be the best player on any other team in the conference, other than Michigan, probably. He's 20
Yeah.
point per game guy coming back. Give me trade off. All right.
Give me Tomislav Ivicic out of Illinois. He's returning a ton. Underwood's system allows big numbers. He's gonna go off this year. He's gonna be all American talks. Give me Tomislav Ivicic.
I'm gonna go with a guy from a team that we really haven't talked about much, which is John Blackwell at Wisconsin.
Yeah, all Big Ten
They
first, all Big Ten team.
All Big Ten team as well. He's gonna fill in that Tanji real well, and he's gonna put up numbers for sure. So I'll go with him.
I'm gonna go with the guy. I'm surprised. I was kind of giving, hoping, thinking you were gonna take him. Donovan Dent, UCLA. Donovan Dent, we've talked about as being
Yeah.
unbelievable, and he's gonna go off in that Corona system. So give me Dent. I'm buying stock.
That's fair. I was honestly just looking at the list, and he was further down, and I forgot.
There you go. I was
So,
surprised.
full transparency. I could go Bennett Sturtz at Iowa. He's going to put up big numbers. He's going to be a monster. Even if they don't make the tournament, he's still going to be a contender. Also, an all first team guy, an all Big Ten team guy. So, I go Bennett
Yeah.
Sturtz.
I'm gonna go Biddle at Oregon. I think even with the shell set injury, he's gonna be asked to take on a bigger task. Like his size is pretty unmatched in this conference, and I like what he's gonna do. And I think Oregon's a tournament team, so give me Nate Biddle.
I like that, Nick. I'll push down the list. Oh, give me another Purdue guy. Give me Fletcher Loyer with Purdue. I think he's
Okay.
going to have a big year for
Okay.
them. He is an elite shooter. It's going to be an elite offense. He's going to put up some points.
All
Fletcher
right, for the
Loyer.
last of my five, because we only do five players over here, like a real team. I'm gonna go Chad Baker-Mazzara out of USC. Not a team we didn't talk about that much, and I really just want to talk about him because he's an interesting case, and he's like 25, 26 years old now. He's kind of been everywhere. He signed a contract to go back to Auburn, NIL wise. It obviously doesn't matter if you sign an NIL contract. We've seen in multiple cases, and USC gave him a bag because they think he's going to be a top level player. So I'm buying the stock in what Muss is going to do, and especially with the absence of Elijah Arenas for what could possibly be the whole year, I think Chad Baker-Mazzara and his experience is going to be very good in that system.
It's crazy he's still in college basketball. Honestly,
Insane.
I don't even know how it's possible.
Insane.
I'm gonna go with another guy from a team we haven't really talked about. The Big Ten is a huge conference, and we didn't get to everybody, obviously. I'm gonna go with Cone Carr at Michigan State, who's an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo, he is the human highlight reel in the
Yes.
Big Ten. It is like it doesn't even make sense watching him jump.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fluid, and he just gets so high and so ferocious. He's going to be really good, and he's probably going to be their best player this year, and probably a down year for Michigan State.
Yeah. Jeremy Fears probably will be the best player, in my opinion, but that's a conversation for another
That's
day.
fair. No,
But
that's
yeah,
fair.
if Colin Carr figures out how to actually play basketball, he could be the best player.
Yeah. That is fair. That
Yeah,
is
because
fair.
his
He needs to
at
tighten up a bit.
yeah. But you're right. If he literally just figures out how to do that, like he is the best player in the
Yeah.
world.
Yeah, all he's got to do is figure out how to play basketball. All right, Nick. That was
What
a
an
tight
episode.
episode. A little Big Ten action. We'll do Big 12 next.
Yes.
The mid-range CBB on all platforms. Jacob YS04 on Twitter. You want to plug
Jaramonte
anything?
Nikki, Jaramonte Nicky. Thank you so much for listening. What a conference. What an episode. Big things in the
What an
future.
episode. Absolutely. All right, I'll see you later, Nick.
See ya.